Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the ENN Investors Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, the 20th of August, 2018. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, CEO, Mr. Glenn Willis. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. And good morning to all, and thank you for joining this presentation today. And thank you for your interest in Elanor Investors Group. Now, this morning, I'm pleased to present the 2018 annual results for the group. And in this presentation, I'll be referring to the pack that we released this morning. And I look forward to answering questions at the end of this presentation. With me today, I have members of the Elanor Investors Group leadership team, Marianne Ossivani, who heads up our hotels, tourism and leisure business, Paul Sivia, who's the COO for the group, Simon Simmons, CFO for the group, and Michael Ballader, who's joint head of real estate and also the fund manager for our listed real estate REIT, the Elanor Retail Property Fund. I'd like to commence by saying that I'm pleased with the progress that was made over 2018, another year of strong growth for the group, I believe. In summary, we achieved strong core earnings growth. We achieved strong growth in funds under management. Particularly pleasing was the growth in the recurring management fee income. Over the course of the year, we strengthened our capital base significantly as well, which positions us well for our immediate growth opportunities at hand. Another pleasing aspect of the year was the strengthening of our capital partners base, our investors in our funds management business. And further, our balance sheet was strengthened over the course of the year. We divested the Marylands property and we made a decision to close the John Coutts furniture business. As we've announced, that business was incurring losses, and we made a decision to close that business, and we'll talk about that a bit later, but in short, that we believe positions as well from a quality of earnings perspective going forward. So 2018 was a year, I believe, that we executed well on our strategy to build the business into what we aim to be a substantial listed funds management business going forward. And I'm certainly pleased with how we're positioned to grow the business against the progress of last year. So we can turn now to the presentation pack that was released this morning. Turning to page four, which is the results highlight. As you can see there, an almost 60% in funds under management to over $1 billion was, a very strong level of growth. We still consider ourselves a very modest size listed investment management business in terms of scale, particularly against the ambitions we have for the business. Pleasing also was the growth in core earnings and growth in distributions per security. Core earnings growing at over 28% and distributions per security growing over 23% was pleasing. NTA over the year decreased slightly to $1.63, which reflects substantially the provision we've set aside to close the loss-making John Coutts furniture business. The gearing at 22% is, we believe, still very conservative, particularly conservative against the quality of the assets on our balance sheet and the strong cash flow generating nature of those assets. The gearing represents almost entirely the $60 million of medium-term notes that was raised during the year. We have almost no short-term bank debt, and the $60 million of capital notes that were raised during the year, we believe, is very efficient capital for our security holders to enable us to execute on our growth opportunities at hand. Turning to page five of the presentation pack, and we talk to you about our growth in size and quality of our core earnings. Again, the growth of over 28% is pleasing, but particularly pleasing was the the growth in the recurring funds management EBITDA from our funds management business. And as you can see, the growth in the recurring funds management EBITDA from over 7 million to over 10 and a quarter million, which is about a 44% increase in growth in that I believe is particularly pleasing. Another couple of observations I'd like to make on this slide. Firstly, the earnings for the year was in spite of very low performance fees. In 2017, you'll see on that slide that we generated over $4 million of performance fees. In 2018, we generated only $338,000 in performance fees. We firmly believe that as the business grows, that performance fees will naturally grow as well as the number of funds and investments under management increases. But having said that, performance fees will very definitely only occur as and when it's appropriate and optimal for investments in our funds to be divested. And I say that, and I hasten to add that whenever I have the chance to, because first and foremost comes the investors in our managed funds and delivering performance for our funds management investors. And so very much the performance fees will naturally grow, but they will be a consequence of the optimal realisation of funds and investments under management. We turn now to slide 6. We've endeavoured to demonstrate here the strength of our capital base to enable us to execute on our, not just our immediate pipeline at hand, but our medium-term pipeline. So we do have significant growth capital available to us, and we believe that positions us very well to achieve growth without the need in the near term to issue certainly any dilutive equity for the business. So we're well positioned for growth with the capital base that we have on hand, and certainly won't be looking in the short to medium term to issue any dilutive capital. Going to page 7. This slide we table every half, which is pleasing to see the ongoing growth in our investments, our funds under management, and particularly pleasing, as I said earlier, was the growth in funds under management of approximately 60% over the course of the year. Turning now to page 8. Again, we include this slide in all our presentations, and the key focus for us is the growth in the recurring management fees, which certainly is the base annual management fees, but also the acquisition fees, which continue to be a part of our earnings. And the recurring funds management fees, excluding performance fees, have increased from $10 million in 2017 to $13.4 million in 2018, which is a 34% increase in over the course of the year. That we believe illustrates our strong earnings profile. If we turn now to page 10, again we seek to illustrate the sector contributions here and where our funds under management are derived from. Our key areas of focus at present are accommodation assets, leisure assets, which broadly is hotels, tourism and leisure, retail assets and commercial assets. They're the three sectors of focus. As I'll talk about a bit later, we have a strong focus on adding new sectors of focus or new sectors within the broader real estate asset class, but this is these are the sectors of focus at present. And we do say here that we do have a focused execution of our funds management strategy, and certainly against the background of the strong funds management growth last year, and hence the background of the capital base, the strengthening capital base that we have. We believe we're very well positioned to grow to grow the business from here, certainly the team and the strengthening of the team is a key contributor to our ability to grow and build out our business and into other sectors as well. Page 11 for illustration, that tables where our managed funds and our balance sheet investments are positioned for reference. So the financial results and the segment performance, put more detail there for your information, and I'll be pleased to take questions on those materials later in the presentation. Most importantly, if we go to page 23, being the strategy and outlook. I'm pleased to say that we are growing funds management business. Our overarching ambition is to grow our funds under management and certainly to deliver strong returns for our investors. Again, I believe we're very well positioned to achieve on that ambition and to execute the strategy that we have at hand to achieve growth for the business. As we say here in our outlook, we remain well positioned to grow value for security holders. We've had a very good year of growth in earnings and profitability. We've had a very good year in terms of growing the capital base of the business. We've had a very good year in strengthening our investor base, which is very important, both in terms of domestic private capital and offshore institutional capital. Our pipeline and team is strengthening, continues to strengthen, which is critical to the success of our business, and our immediate pipeline is very strong. In summary, it was a year of significant progress for the group in all aspects. The key disappointing aspect was the closure of the John Coutts business, and we made a decision against the backdrop of a retail environment that became increasingly competitive over the course of the year, which resulted in us making a decision to close the business and eliminate the losses that were emanating from that asset. You will mostly recall, I'm sure, that we made the acquisition of the John Coutts Furniture Group in 2014. That was predominantly a real estate acquisition, and the profitability and value that was created on the acquisition of the real estate was substantial. Unfortunately, we had to close the operating business to make sure that the earnings quality of Elmore would be improved going forward. So that's a summary of 2018. Again, I'm pleased with what was achieved over the year. I'm particularly pleased with where we're positioned for this year and the years going forward. I believe we're very robustly positioned to enable us to grow and to enable us to grow earnings for our security holders. So against that background, I look forward to taking questions. I'll hand it over to the moderator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you do wish to cancel your request, you can do that by pressing the pound or hash key. All right, our first question comes from the line of William McDiarmid from Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
Almost got the pronunciation right. Thanks, guys. Just a couple of questions relating to the reconciliation of core earnings. Can you just clarify what that 1.9 mil of added back amortization relates to? And also the 3.5 mil of income tax, is that largely related to the sale of Meru?
I'll hand over to Paul Sibby to take that question, Will.
So, Will, just in relation to tax initially, it is largely in relation to Merrylands. It does include the tax shield in respect of the current period loss of John Coutts as well. The amortisation amounts of $1.9 million include a number of things. They include the amortisation of the short-term incentive and long-term incentive plans, and also borrowing costs.
Okay. Great, thanks. And for just John Coutts Furniture, are you able to give any detail on the timetable for the wind-up? And also, are you able to split out what that provisioning is by sort of cash and non-cash? And I suppose just finally, should we expect that you'll include any operating loss from the business in FY19 core earnings as well?
Okay, I'll take those from the last first. We're not expecting any impact of the trading of John Coutts Furniture in respect of core earnings for FY19. The timetable for closure depends upon the speed of sales as we are now in this closure period. The orderly closure commenced last Monday immediately after our announcement. Sales have been strong and we'll continue to monitor based on those sales and available stock the period for close down, but it'll be over a number of months and certainly not extend past the end of the calendar year. In fact, based on last week's results, we'd expect the closure to perhaps be accelerated from our initial thinking. And Will, in respect of cash, what we can say is that we don't expect there to be any cash funding required, net cash funding required in respect of the close down. In fact, we expect after taking into account the tax shield, which will enjoy the benefit of that in the short term, we expect at this stage for there to be some positive cash flow in respect of the close down.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Tan from Bells. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just apologies, I haven't gone through all the detail yet, but in terms of the NTA calc, is the full gain on the Merrylands sale incorporated into $1.63 per share?
Yes, it is, Andrew.
Okay. And just with the Bell City transaction, that was done post-year end. Are there disposal fees and performance fees from that transaction?
No, there are not.
Okay. And just lastly, any colour you can give on the pipeline of funds manager opportunities and I guess the new real estate sectors that you may be focusing on?
In terms of the pipeline, we have a strong pipeline across all sectors within the business, within the hotels, tourism, leisure, within retail and within the commercial sectors. In fact, we're very pleased with the pipeline that we have at present. In the past, I've said we've had an encouraging pipeline, but we believe it's a strong pipeline at present. I always hasten to add that it's never done till it's done, but we're very very positive about our pipeline. In terms of other sectors that we are looking at, I don't want to be drawn into talking about or bribing the sectors that we're looking at, other sectors within the real estate asset class, but suffice to say there are several sectors that we are looking at to establish businesses in.
Okay. How advanced is the pipeline in general though? Like, are you just initial discussions or initial negotiations, or are there some that could fall in the next kind of 3 to 6 months?
The pipeline is strong with a view to execution of investment opportunities within this half.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Just a reminder for everyone on the phones, it is star one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Edward Day from Moelis. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just on the WorkZone acquisition, I think that is completed in July. Are you taking the establishment fee in June or in FY19?
Yes, that transaction has completed, Ed, in very early August, and the acquisition fee is included in the results for FY18 and on the basis that that transaction was, first of all, unconditional and exchanged at 30th of June and then settled before the accounts were signed.
Okay. I think at the time you said that ENN was going to increase their investment in ECPF as part of that transaction. Can you give an indication of the position that ENN sort of increased into ECPF?
Yes, we can. ENN has increased its position in ECPF as planned in respect of that work zone transaction. ECPF is a 50% equity holder in work zone, and ENN's equity in ECPF has now increased to approximately $12 million.
Okay, thanks. And then just on the gross capital slide with the $64 million, is the $60 million in notes in addition to that?
No, we're talking in the growth capital slide, we're talking about cash, capital that sits in cash or near cash that we can deploy from this time on in respect of seeding new funds management initiatives.
Yes, but how much of the 60 mil notes has been utilised?
But most of it, Ed. If you want to analyse it that way, perhaps you could look at the amount of immediately surplus cash we have in respect of that number, and within that 64, it's approximately $10 million.
Okay. And then just on the Belconnen transaction earlier in the year, could you just give an update on how the planning around that is going?
The planning's going very well. I'll hand it over to Michael, who can give a brief update on the Belconnen transaction.
Sure. We've now lodged a development application for the large format retail component, which has now been increased actually from 2,500 square metres to 3,750 square metres, given strong interest from retailers. In final stages of negotiations on two mini anchor tenancies there, and looking to complete the third one in short order. We expect to have the DA approved by September and the commencement of construction sometime in the last quarter, with completion somewhere in the order of mid 2019. On Thursday, we presented to the retailers, the current retailers in the market, and gave them a bit of a timetable as to what the plan is for the market's operations itself, which was received very, very positively. And we expect to lodge DA for the markets, the new markets hall, as we're calling it, sometime in the second quarter of this year as well.
So in summary, Ed, that is travelling ahead of schedule.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all.
Our next question comes from the line of Winston Summit from Folkestone. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Look, having regard to the disappointment with the John Cooch, the business and the operational side, I have two questions. Firstly, can you give us an update on the tourism operational business? And secondly, does it cause you to perhaps revisit the strategy of being a mix of a fund manager and an operating business?
Winston, the strategy of buying, our overarching strategy is to acquire real estate and real estate that we believe that will be positive for both our investors and for the group. So the strategy of buying the John Coutts business, you recall, and I've said it before, that 80% of that acquisition was real estate, and 20% of that acquisition was an operating business component that we made the decision to take on board to acquire the real estate. That was part of the acquisition requirement, and we've been very successful in realising value on the real estate. In terms of so our strategy hasn't changed at all since the inception of the business. In terms of the tourism or the hotels, leisure and hotels, tourism and leisure business, I'll let Marianne comment, but we'll preface it by saying that our pipeline is strong in that sector, and we see good opportunities across the board in that sector.
That's right. We do have a strong pipeline coming through a number of assets across Australia. In relation to the operation side of things, we don't actually operate those assets, to your question, Winston. So we do have operators, in particular Accor and Mantra. Accor have obviously acquired Mantra in recent times. So they're operated, we asset manage, the manager, if you like, across those. So we're not actually actively operating those assets.
Thank you.
Just a reminder for everyone on the phone, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. There don't seem to be any more questions on the line. I'll pass it back to the lead speaker for some closing remarks.
Thank you, and again, thank you for joining this call today and for your interest in the group. In summary, we feel that that 2018 was a very positive year for the group, and we believe it's a year that positions us very well to grow the business and grow security holder returns and value going forward. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the broader Elanor team, a team that continues to strengthen, and one that is positioned us very well to execute on our strategy to grow the group. So thank you very much to all of the team, and thank you all for attending today. Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your attendance. You may all disconnect.